so much incompetent managers. They don't have to be managers. They have to be team leaders. A bad manager, his team is at the service of the manager. That's a red flag. A good team leader is at the service of the team. He's coaching them, training them, make the people evolve. It's extremely hard to succeed in Europe to build a company and grow it.
Why?
For instance, in Belgium, 77% of the gross goes to the pocket of the government.
What?
And then...
77% tax.
Taxes. In India, you can sell to the US, you can sell in Europe, you can sell with much higher price, which makes you comfortable very quickly and gives you high margin in order to scale.
If Indians start understanding this trend that we have of cheap resources around us and then become really, really efficient, then we can be the global powers.
Yeah, there is no other country with that potential.
Who's the biggest player in India?
Management software? It's Zoho and Tally. I do believe they have no chances of competing with us.
So do you think that... I was just having this question, like, offline marketing and online marketing, there are two different types of marketing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So offline marketing works really well in India because population is very dense. So there are like a lot of people. Yeah. Do you think the offline marketing works in Europe as well?
Very well. But very most well? People don't know it. I believe it's underrated.
Offline marketing
yes.
is underrated.
So marketing
offline,
evolved,
by offline, you mean like the billboards and the hoardings?
Billboards and everything, yes. Okay. I believe the marketing evolved a lot over the past 5-10 years. And now it gets to a point where we have tons of marketers who don't understand what they do. They just play with KPIs on Google AdWords and everything. And they have to prove results, and it's very performance oriented and so on. And because of that, the channels where you cannot measure easily have been underrated, I believe. When you do billboards, you don't know the impact. It's brand awareness, you don't generate leads.
Yeah.
And so we do have to do a lot of billboards, for instance, and it works very well. But I cannot prove it because there is no direct numbers. Like when you do a Google AdWords campaign, you know the revenue from the campaign. There you cannot. My understanding of marketing is the following, is that over time, all the marketing challenge gets equal. So if one is way more interesting, let's say influencer marketing is way more interesting than another one, everyone will invest on this. So the price will increase. And over time, as the channels get mature, they are more or less equal. Because if one is not equal, big companies will invest and yeah. the price will go up. Except with a few things. New channels, because people don't know yet, it's not mature, or when something is underrated. And I do believe that there are some bias against offline marketing, especially in Europe. So people don't value them at their right value.
Interesting. Give me, how can somebody who's watching this video can learn how to make like a right billboard? Because you can make a billboard, a hoarding, and you don't even know the impact.
Oh,
so you're assuming that it's working, but maybe it's not working because your ad sucks.
Right? Yeah.
So how can you put out like a good billboard? What has been your learning till now?
So we did some guidelines that to do. We even published them online. If you want, they are free on the website. It's basically simple. It has to be less is more.
Less is more.
Yes. Especially in India, they put too much on billboards. So usually just one sentence, get your website for free. And the big logo Odoo is enough. Don't put photos and discount and phone numbers to call and whatever. Less is more, because on billboards you only have an attention span of 3-4 seconds, and so they don't have the time to process everything. So that's important. Size is important, but you have to know that size, so the bigger the better, obviously, decrease to the square of the distance. You know, because it's so if you have let's say 100 square feet billboards at 5 meters of the road, you get the same thing that 10 meters of the road, 400 square foot. So you should bet on the size, of course, because it's better, but just with the distance. Sometimes you get a much better result with smaller billboards because they are cheaper, that are closer to the eye.
Interesting. I never thought it this way.
Yeah,
but it's an interesting thought. But question on that, but you said in India, people put a lot of things on billboards. Why do you think they do that?
It's not only in India, in Europe, they do the same. It's because most of them have a process where they ask creatives to do it. And marketing shouldn't be done by designer. Marketing is about the message you want to convey. And the message is more important than the design. And so if you ask a designer, obviously he will design. He You will put gradients nice. And things like that. If you think about what matters, like for us, it's get an accounting software for free or get a website for free. Just simplify and put just that is enough. If you look at the Odoo billboards, they are full purple, one sentence, best website builder for free, and big logo, and that's it.
Nothing I like else. This perception. And I think it's a good one. And now, all of a sudden, I'm thinking about this thing now, that billboard should not be designed by designers.
Yeah.
It should be designed by the person who gets the message very clearly.
And that's something book editors have understood. Like, look at your book. There is only build, don't talk.
Yeah.
Black cover, build, don't talk. That's something book editors, publishers have understood, but billboards, they don't.
That's exactly true for thumbnails as well.
Yeah.
On a video thumbnail, a lot of people will put like a lot of things, a lot of elements and this and that, and they would write like large sentences.
Yeah.
But the really good one, good thumbnails are where you don't have more than 4 or 5 words.
Mm-hmm. And let's see more.
This is like photo of the person who's there in the video, 4 or 5 words, that's it. You don't have to put in like 20 elements at the same time.
Because the size of the word is more important than the number of words.
Oh, size of the word. But sometimes isn't it difficult to get your message in just one sentence?
It's very difficult, of course. That's why marketing is hard. That would be too easy. But simplifying your message is one of the key strengths that you have
to
develop.
How can somebody learn how to simplify the message?
Just do it. Just think about doing it. And practice and practice and improve. And
are there any ways? Is there any book that you have read you feel like, okay, for marketers, this is what people should read?
There are some good books about design. Design for non-designers. I like that. Just to design good slides.
What's the book name?
Design for non-designers. That's okay. A book I give to a lot of employees. Marketing, I've read a lot of books. You always learn things, but not one that transformed my life. As opposed to sales. In sales, I've read books that really transformed the way I
give me a sales one then.
Never Split the Difference.
Never Split the Difference.
Yeah, very good one. Or on strategy, if you want book. Yeah. The Art of Strategy, I really like it. Oh, on marketing, one that I would recommend is Style. A Lesson of Clarity in Grace. It's not a book about marketing per se, but it's a book about how to write well. Just write in order to be clear. Simple and clear. And that's something that everybody should learn because it starts there.
Style.
Yes.
Do you think people can learn how to become a good entrepreneur just by reading books?
It helps. Just by that, no, you have to do it.
Obviously. But it helps.
But it helps, yeah.
Give me 3 lessons that you have learned about management, which everybody should know about.
It depends on the size of the company. I mean, what you need to do to grow from 1 to 10, 10 to 100 and 1. Are
okay,
different.
Let's do 1 to 10.
1 to 10, let's do the 3.
Okay, let's do the 3.
So 1 to 10, it's all about the culture. In most companies, a successful company in the long term, the culture plays a big role. 1 to 10, the culture is you. It's just the way you behave with your team, they learn from you. So you don't have to think about it, it's just the way you behave. And you set the stage. But then you grow to 10 to 100. 10 to 100, the culture is not you anymore. You start to have middle managers and they decide to behave on their own style and so on. So when you grow to 10 to 100, it's all about communication, training your team leaders, being sure that everyone is aligned, that the goals are clear and so on. And then you grow from 100 to 1,000 and that's different. The role of the CEO is a bit less about execution and a lot about chief explanatory officer. You have to explain a lot of things, align everyone and keep the culture, but then it has to be in a book. So I wrote a book about the Odoo culture, for instance, so that you are sure that thousands of people will be aligned. So it evolves, but the principles remain the same, to have a good culture. Apart from that, what I learned is that the success of Odoo, it has always been the product. If we grew that fast, it's because we have an exceptional product. And it doesn't have to be the product. Some companies succeed because of marketing. Hmm. Some succeed because they are real sales. But you have to be extremely good on something. For us, it has been the product. Our product is really way above any other management software or business apps. And because of that, everything has been easier after. Selling was easier. Marketing was easier. Delivering service that costs less is easier when you have a better product. So for us, pretty much everything about our success is related to the product.
Why do you think the biggest in your journey of 20 years, you've worked with so many businesses.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think are the top 3 reasons why a business fails?
Not fixing his problem is one, for sure. They live with inefficiencies. They have managers that most of the time they don't even notice it.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, most of the time, let's say in India or Europe, the same. Huh? Everyone signs document on paper. I mean, to sign that, you get a document by email. An administrative has to print it, then go to your office, disturb you as you are doing something, ask for a signature. You lose 3 days, then scan it, send it by email. It's stupid. I mean, we have tools, electronic signature. You send an email, one link, and someone can sign online, it's done. But nobody does it. And it's a matter of habits. We are so used to be inefficient. We are so used to work with paper, to record bills in the system, to schedule meeting for HR, that we just don't imagine that we can work in another way.
So number one is not fixing the problem.
Yes.
We just, because we're so used to inefficient ways, we don't make ourselves efficient.
And we don't imagine we can do better. Things change because at the time it was true. Like 5-10 years ago, it was difficult to fix these issues.
Yeah.
You needed people 5-10 years ago in order to schedule meeting or record bills. But now, with maturity of digitalization in online tools and everything, most of the things are very easy. So it's more a technological barrier to make it accessible rather than other thing.
What's the second problem?
I think management is one. There are
what
so,
do you mean by management?
So much incompetent managers.
Explain. Give me so that everybody can understand. Okay, I personally want to know this. Give me a definition of incompetent managers, or give me like 3 or 4 red flags which you can notice in your manager. Okay. And then, so 3 red flags of a manager.
I can tell you what I expect from a manager. For me, first, they don't have to be manager. They have to be team leaders. A bad manager, his team is at the service of the manager. That's a red flag. A good team leader is at the service of the team. He's coaching them, training them, make the people evolve. At Odoo, we have only one criteria to select new team leaders. We take the best of the team. That's the only thing. It has to be the best at the job, because if not the best at the job, he cannot teach the others. And so that is very important. I expect team leaders to be at the service of the team and not the other way around. Another one is, I think good manager, they teach. You know, when you start entrepreneur, it's very difficult because most entrepreneurs are engineers or building content. They are good at their core business, but they are not salespeople. So as you grow, at some time you have to create a sales team and manage sales people. It's a different job. And at the beginning, I found it very difficult to recruit a VP of sales because they are so good at talking and selling. When you do the interview, they all feel very good to you.
Exactly.
And so I noticed after that if you want to find a good VP of sales, just ask for his training material. The best ones, they are focused on their team. They have good content. And they have good slides about how to teach. So there are small tricks like that you can...
Nice. That's a good trick. Ask for their training method.
Yeah. Because it means that it's a manager that is at the service of the team, focusing on coaching them, making them evolve, rather than managing people.
Wow. I really love this insight, by the way.
Yeah.
It's so true. I've never asked a salesperson or a sales manager...
Show me your last training. Slides of the last training.
Yeah. And it makes so much sense because that's what a sales head or a sales manager is supposed to do.
Make the team more efficient.
Yeah.
And not only sales, every department.
Yes. So every time I'm supposed to hire a head or a management.
It's more important for sales, but for others too, because some like development. It's not based on training, it's more based on coaching. So you have less material, but it's more someone who sits next to the developer, fix bugs with him, or that kind of thing. So we have a rule at Odoo, we never recruit external manager.
Why?
The only way to become a director is to be the best of the team. And we do that to ensure that the person will have something to bring to the team. They will be good at coaching because we know him, we are sure he's good. We selected him because he's the best of the team. So we know we will also be aligned with the culture. It's a good way for us to keep the culture.
How do you identify who's the best person in the team? Because sometimes the output is a combination of efforts of 5 people together.
Yeah.
And there are just few people who are really good at talking, and there are people who are good at doing. So you can't differentiate between who actually put in the more effort to actually build this.
If you manage people from the top, you won't be able to identify them. But if you work with them day to day, then you will identify them very easily. And most of the time, the teams know. Most of the time, the teams are already acting like if he's the team leader. So if they have questions, they will ask to him. If they need help, they will ask to him. So it's sometimes you don't even need to name it. It's becoming automatically.
Okay, what are the challenges you feel a startup founder faces in order to build a company? And what all have you faced?
Like the first, of course, is cash. That's the most difficult one, is the time when you don't sleep. It's when you are close to bankruptcy.
There's one of my friends who runs a really large company in India. And I think he's valued at like $3-4 billion right now. He says that when I was starting my startup, and he said that no matter which position you are, cash is always less in the bank. He's like, even, and he was at $1 billion at that time. I was like, okay, dude, you're at $1 billion. You have like $230 million in your bank. What are you saying? He's like, still less. Like, I felt the same way when I had $10,000 in my bank, and I still feel the same when I have more than $230 million.
Yeah, because you never know.
You never, yeah. Yeah. Do you feel the same?
Yeah,
cash is always less.
I think it's the difference between manager by profession and founders. Founder has very sensible, because they have had these harsh times where they had to survive. I've had like 3 times in the life of Odoo where we were close to bankruptcy, in total 7 years. When you live through that period of time, you know that you have to take care in the future because it will happen again.
Yeah.
I mean, difficult times always happen. It's a cycle. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. So you have to be prepared. And if you are inefficient with cash when things are good, you will also be inefficient with cash when you need it.
True. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That inefficiency doesn't change with times. Inefficiency changes.
It's a mindset.
If you want to change,
efficiency is a mindset, is a way of working, is a culture. You need your people to be focused on productivity and things like that. So it doesn't change from 1 week to another. It's something that are in the culture of the company. So you want to keep that. Even though everything's good, you have a lot of cash, you need to keep efficiency for competitiveness, of course, but also because there will be hard time in the future.
So what he's saying, first one was hard, cash. Cash is the hardest one.
Yes.
What are the other problems?
The other problem, I think the way I see it is that the problems are not important. The key is the success. How to explain that? For me, I've had a lot of issues, but I don't care because you can always pass by, fix them. It's okay. What you cannot afford is to not have big success. Like a company that works but never really evolves, that's painful for everybody. So you always have to focus on the big successes. But in order to do big successes, it means you have to take risks, launching new products, pivoting on the business model. And these risks makes you do mistakes. I do believe you should not focus on the mistake. You should really focus on how do I do the big next step forward. And that's really what does matter. So the bigger risk is to not do this big step forward.
So you see, you feel as a founder, you should be focusing on the...
Every 2 years, the company has to be different. That's my rule. If in 2 years, the company is not one step ahead of what it is today, I failed. It's not like I should manage what we have. It's more that I have to ensure that we have 50% growth per year every year.
50%?
50. 50, yes. It's not a lot.
Year on year. For years.
Yes.
In the initial years, it's okay. But after 3 or 4 years, you still feel that's the same thing?
It's been 20 years that I do that.
50%.
Yeah, I always have people who say, how did you make such a success with Odoo? And my answer is, there is no magic formula. It's 50% year after year for 20 years. And then at the beginning, it doesn't seem big, but 50% of 4,000 people we have today, it's 2,000 extra employees. It starts to be big.
50% is a lot.
Yeah.
So you think as a founder, people should just focus on the big wins?
No, it's not big wins because you need it every year. So you can do one shot.
Every 2 years, you need to focus on the big win.
No, you have to focus on making things more efficient. And efficient growth comes with efficiency.
How can you make it more efficient?
Every department should be better. Your salespeople should be better. Your HR should recruit faster. Your product should improve. Everything.
Okay, give me top 5 departments that need to be better.
So we have R&D, service. We provide service to clients. Sales, marketing, and then administrative. So you have finance, HR, and so on.
Okay. Now the follow-up question. in every one of these departments, what is that one trick, one by one, tell me, before you hire somebody, and how do you know that that person is good? Who should be suited for the right role?
Okay, maybe I should explain. One thing I expect, I never judge the experience. I judge if they are capable of learning, or the way they think, not what they learned. Because sometimes you may have someone that answers all your questions perfect. Like, do you know how to do that? Yes, yes, yes. It just because he had the experience. It doesn't mean he's good. Maybe he was the worst of the team. It just means he lived the situation. But if you ask questions about things they don't know, and you look at how they think about it, how they can rationalize the problem and so on, then you will have better people. So for me, it's more about competency than experience.
Okay, so is it in every department or just in the service?
All departments, we focus on competencies and experience. So for instance, we don't look at resume.
You don't look at resume, why?
Because otherwise you focus on the experience. It will look good to you because he has 5 years experience in your ERP, so in your business, but maybe it's the worst of the business. And when you focus on the competencies, you judge by his capabilities. And that's what matters at the end.
You know, there's one of my friend who was your, he's like a mentor figure who I love to talk to about like management and a lot of other things. He was here at the podcast a while ago, Vishal is the name. And then he said something very interesting. Every time I look at resume, I don't look at what people have written at the top. I look at the bottom, what they've written in their hobbies. That's where people lie. So he's like, I can get to know that the moment somebody has written, let's say my hobbies are photography. Yeah. I ask them, let's talk about photography.
Yeah.
When was the last time you did a photo? Like you shot a photo, and what did you do?
Yeah.
How deep you are in that? Because that tells about a person that things which they don't have time for, how do they process that?
Mm-hmm.
Things they don't know how to do, how do they process that?
Yeah.
And then you'll get to know a better answer because you'll get the reality.
Yeah.
At the top, everybody has written anyway the nice things.
Yeah, a lot of managers, they ask questions about, do you know this? What would you do in that situation? I think these are very bad questions.
Bad questions.
Yes.
Why?
Because it tells you it just if he knows it, if he lived the case. It doesn't tell you if he is good or he's bad. It just says, okay, he has this job before. But what you don't want is you don't want someone who had the same job. You want someone that is good at the job. And it's very different.
Tell me, what are the top three questions somebody should ask before hiring somebody?
It's based on the job. R&D, development. Make them development, algorithmic.
Basic, let's say, attitudinal questions that people should ask in an interview.
There is no, because for me, it's just about the job. So for, let's say, an Odoo consultant service, I will ask him to understand the business process. I will talk about the business and I will ask him to summarize what's good, what's wrong, and that kind of thinking. It's very dependent on the job.
Okay, so sales you did. Marketing. What would be the question you would ask your marketing guy?
If they understand. And if they can think about it. What is the CPM of a billboard? Usually they don't know. So let's compute it. How would you compute it? And based on that, if we have that CPM or that CPA in Google AdWords, do you prefer to invest in billboards or AdWords? Make them think to check if they understand what they do.
But are you very numbers driven?
It depends. For marketing, yes.
In marketing, yes. You're not like a very feeling or perception driven.
Also, both are important. But it goes together. I mean, let's say you do a billboard. Numbers matter, how many views you get. But the content too, you have to get both. You cannot do one and not the other.
So you think somebody who's a really good content ninja, somebody who understands content and doesn't understand number, is a bad marketing person?
No, it depends. We have different positions in marketing, of course. So if it's a content writer...
Somebody who's leading it.
So if it's a content writer, I will ask him to write something. If it's he's working on the advertising, I will talk about numbers. So it really depends on the job.
But someone who's leading the whole department, you need best of both?
It's me for now. But yeah, it has someone who can bring value to everyone.
Have you heard of a company called Zomato?
Yes.
In India?
Yeah.
Right? So his founder, recently, I was looking at one of his clips. He said that he doesn't believe in attracting people. He believes in approaching people because people who are applying jobs are anyway free. So people who are not applying job and are really good at their jobs, they don't have time to apply here and there. So he wants to go to them and actually get them.
Yes.
Do you believe in that philosophy?
I understand. So what matters is there is not one approach better than the other, of course. What matters is to have the approach that fits your culture, to be aligned. What we are good at to do is to have young people, train them, become very good. We are very good at that, at teaching and making them evolve. So we have a lot of young people joining the company. And I'm okay with that because we get the very smart one. Other companies, they prefer to recruit top managers and that kind of things. When you do that, of course, you have to poach. But it's not what we do. The only way to become manager to do is to be the best of the team and grow. We never recruit managers. So in that point of view, it works better for us to advertise.
Why do you not do this? Why do you not pick up like someone who's already experienced, has been there in the industry for 7-8 years? You directly get them a senior leader in your team. Do you think the speed of your business or speed of your growth would increase?
No. First, it's a big risk on the culture. You have a very strong culture of efficiency, of people being responsible, autonomous. And if you bring an experienced manager, he will come with his own habits, apply his own habits, and he will not conform to your culture. Maybe it's good in some environment, but in others, it's going to be different. And so in order to guarantee to keep this culture for the long term, this rule has been one of the best we have had to be sure that we sustain that.
Okay, tell me about your story. When did you start? Give me like go right from the childhood. Like where were you born? What kind of child you were?
I was born in Belgium. I did computer science, Polytechnique University with specialty in computer science. But I love development and business since I'm a kid. So very early, like...
When did you realize that you love business as a kid? How can you say that?
I sold my first management software at 13 years old.
You sold?
Yes. So it was a friend of my father. And I developed accounting and CRM software for him at 13 years old. And since then, I did a lot of things like that. I was reading a lot of books when I was 20, management books. And I develop a lot too. I'm a developer. That's really what I love. And so like Odoo was kind of putting both my passion together, development and business.
Okay. And then you started your business. You were on your own. Was there a pressure? Was it out of pressure or was it out of choice?
No, the good thing is I started when I was a student. And when you are a student, you don't need money, basically. Just need to a little bit to eat, but you have no kids, no housing, no nothing. So it was easy as a student. And so when I get graduated, I already had 3 employees, lots of business activities, different business activities. So it was easy for me because I started earlier.
Okay.
As an entrepreneur, you put the pressure on yourself. I had no external pressure, but I can tell you I had a lot of pressure on me that I put myself or that I put because of the business. I had 7 years close to bankruptcy. It's not pressure from parents or whatever, but it's still a huge pressure to keep jobs for your employees and everything. So it's not like life was without pressure. I had a lot of pressure, but different ones.
Quick question. Is it difficult to choose entrepreneurship or get out of comfort zone, specifically in a country where things are a little easy comparatively to India? Let's say you...
No, it's very
do you have
difficult.
Good, do you have good healthcare education for free?
Yes, we have
healthcare. So let's say you have good healthcare, you have education, your little life is comfortable. You know that if you will be unemployed, then the government will pay you, right? And you have retirement life sorted. Yes. So you're, in some sense, the basic life is sorted.
Yes.
Do you think you tend to become more comfortable and you don't hustle it as much?
It's, yes. So, for instance, Europeans don't have an entrepreneur mindset, not like Indians. Indians are very entrepreneur.
Yeah.
One. And two, it's extremely hard to succeed in Europe, to build a company and grow it.
Why?
Because of high taxation. Everything you talked about, healthcare, education, has a price. And the price is a few people, the entrepreneur, who pays a lot to them. For instance, in Belgium, when I pay a salary to an employee, 77% of the gross goes to the pocket of the government.
What?
And then...
77% tax?
Taxes. Based on company cost. Company cost to net, it depends on the salary, but you can get that. And salaries are quite high. So it's extremely difficult to be competitive in this market. In India, you can sell to the US, you can sell in Europe, you can sell with much higher price, which makes you comfortable very quickly and gives you high margin in order to scale. Getting high margin in Europe is extremely difficult.
Was it like that always? like since the beginning or since the longest time, for like 20, 30 years, 40 years.
From what I remember, at least for the last 20 years.
The taxes were really high.
It's always been, yes.
Are there like 5-7 top startups in out of Belgium?
The biggest is us, Odoo, by far.
Really?
No,
in the whole of Belgium?
Yeah.
How big is Odoo right now? Like what's the valuation?
4,000 people.
What's the valuation, 4,000 people?
That's 5 billion.
5 billion.
Of euros. So okay. $5.5 billion. It's a private company, so there is no value. It's based on the last transaction a year ago.
Yeah, that's right.
We grow as 50% per year. So this year we will recruit 2,000 people extra. And we are worldwide in every country.
So there's... Wow. By the way, congratulations.
But it's an exception. Usually you don't get that in Europe.
Congratulations. I mean, how many companies would be there in Belgium which are above billion? A unicorn?
Not a lot. Unicorn, 2 or 3. But it's a small country. I mean, it's 11 million of people.
Odoo was started in Belgium?
Started in Belgium, went to India in 2016, I think. 2006. After that, we opened a lot of countries.
When did you start?
It depends how we count, but let's say 20 years ago.
12 years ago?
20 years ago.
20 years ago. Yeah. Okay. So another question. In Europe, I've heard that you can't advertise, right? Performance marketing and everything.
No, you can.
You can?
Yeah.
But there are some rights of privacy, right? You can't advertise, you can't target.
I think you are mentioning GDPR, which is a law in Europe where you can advertise, you can do whatever you want, but the private information of individuals cannot be sold. So you cannot buy email address of person to advertise to them. You cannot do direct marketing, but you can do ads. You can do...
So I can do performance marketing.
You can do a lot
Facebook.
Of Google AdWords, YouTube, content creator, influencers marketing. Everything works. What you cannot do, for instance, is LinkedIn emails. It's blocked in Europe.
Okay. Oh, so B2B sales are difficult in Europe.
It's more difficult.
B2C is still okay.
B2C, outside advertising works well.
Interesting. Okay. Going back to your story, why did you start Odoo and what does Odoo do?
So basically I did a lot of things and one worked better than the others.
Okay. What didn't work? tell me 2-3 things that didn't work.
I did antivirus and anti-spam that cleaned up your emails. It was called nomoreviagra.com.
Okay.
It didn't work. I was a student, so I printed brochures and paper distributed, but never started really. I did management
anti-spam.
Anti-spam and antivirus, yes.
Okay.
The name was fun. nomoreviagra.com.
Yeah.
I did a lot of e-commerce. I developed games. I developed a platform for antique dealers. That works well. That allowed me to pay the first 3 employees. Lots of custom development on demand. And then at some point, I had a shop for goodies. So I was selling t-shirts, lots of open source stuff. And at some point, I stopped everything and said, okay, now I'll focus on the Odoo management software. That's what I like.
Reversing a bit, okay. Why do you think all the other things that you did failed and they didn't work?
First, they didn't fail per se. I was a student. So for me, it was just about building stuff. I was happy to build a website, to sell t-shirts online. And then I just get bored of delivering t-shirt every day. So I stopped the activity. But it's not a failure. I developed a big e-commerce. It was selling. Then I did antique dealers. Allowed me to pay 3 employees. So it's more like milestones.
Okay. None of them like failed.
But they failed in a way that they didn't produce revenue. They didn't... But I was a student. I didn't care. I mean, I was just building because I wanted to learn, build software.
Okay. And then how did it hit you as a student that you need to build a management software?
So I started to do the management software for my antiques dealers and auction houses. But I wanted to do the mass market. So I started with an accounting software. They didn't need accounting software, but I still started from that because it's the core. And I did that because I'm just passionate about management. I was reading a lot of books. I wanted to solve a problem. I think it's Paul Graham who said that if you want to succeed in business, you have to solve a very complex problem, a very big one. And I do believe that enterprise management is a super complex problem. And I like to solve complex problems and make them easier.
So that's how it started.
Yes.
Okay. Why why do you feel there was a need for management software? Weren't there anyone like, weren't there other softwares in the market?
There are thousands of management softwares.
Then, but at the time when you started, were there any management software?
Yeah, plenty, but they are not mature. Most of the people are complaining about their accounting software. They need a webmaster to update their website. If they need a good marketing campaign to send email, they don't have the tools. So there are a lot of tools, but they are not mature enough. And I know if I look at what passionate me is to help people in their job. If you look at a lot of people have a shitty job. I can give you a few examples. Take an accountant. Usually the way it works, he has to record bill in a system. So he arrives in the morning in the company, has a sheet, maybe 100 bills to record, and he records data in a system. Next day, new piles of invoice to record, they record in a system. I mean, these are the kind of things, if you have good tools, it can refocus on validation, tax optimization, guidance, and so on, rather than recording data. And a lot of people are suffering from that. For instance, HR. If you sit next to a recruiter and watch how he or she works, what you will notice is that 50% of the emails of a recruiter is about scheduling meeting.
Yeah.
Are you available on Thursday? Manager is available. Second manager is not. We have to reschedule, blah, 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 blah. 50% of the emails is about scheduling meeting. Can you imagine a job where 50% of your time is scheduling meeting? It's not good. And people suffer from that. They don't notice it's not normal because they've done that for years and manager think it's okay, it's normal. But if you have good tools, scheduling a meeting today is just you send an URL. Candidates can see agenda of the interviewers, schedule themselves, reschedule if they are not available. It doesn't have to be manual. And for a lot of business, it's the way it works. It's because people don't have the right tools at work. They suffer from that. They are inefficient and the company cannot grow the way it could. And I'm passionate about that, to make people do more in less time at work.
Okay. Do you think that every company, regardless of the scale, needs a management software?
Oh, yeah.
Even at the ones which are just starting, yeah. 0 to 10 employees?
So I'll give you my personal experience. When I started to do, I lost a lot of money because I hate administrative job. I didn't record my timesheet. I don't like to send invoice. I don't like to do follow-up. I really hate that. I'm an engineer. I'm not an administrative. And because of that, I probably lost 30% of my revenues because I didn't have a good tool that did everything automatically for me. I didn't have bank connection to launch automated follow-ups. It was so painful to create an invoice that I did it late. So I was losing money and I had a hard time. Sometimes I was needing money I didn't have just because I didn't have the tool. When I was alone and when I was 5, 6, it was the same.
Yeah. Okay. But in India, we have a justification for everything that we can get a people. People are more.
Yeah. You have an habit of throwing people to the problem instead of fixing the problem. That's true.
That's true, right?
But still, when you have the right tools, everything is faster. Everything is easier.
Give me 3 or 4 areas where Udoo can really, really help in India.
Okay. If you...
And let me... Because I'm going to cross-question you on that and I want to understand it better.
So...
Let's say accounting is one.
Accounting is one. Operation is one. Good inventory. When I see in India, you have a salesperson on the phone. He has to call someone. Do you have inventory? I don't know. Yeah. I have to check if it's going to be manufactured in 1 month. And then you get 2 weeks to get a quote. When you get the quote, it's a shitty Excel sheet that doesn't look fancy and so on. If you have a good tool, the salesperson can do the quote right away. Inventory is accurate. Prediction of manufacturing are accurate. The quote is beautiful with photos of the product. It changes everything. So yeah, you can put people, but if you want quality, if you want to grow, having good tools is good. And you can do both, actually. You can have good tools and then scale with people. But if your people do things that matter, it's going to be more efficient.
So accounting, operations, what else?
CRM, sales. I'm always surprised about how...
What is CRM and sales?
CRM is customer relationship management. It's the tools that help you build sales team and sell. You know, I'm always surprised about how entrepreneurs and startups, they don't fix their problem. You talk to CEOs and they tell you, oh, I don't have clients, I don't have... I have difficulties to recruit or to retain my employees. And then you ask them, what did you do? Nothing. So if you don't have clients, you generate leads. You launch marketing campaigns, you send millions of emails, you connect ads. There are plenty of tools. But because they don't have access to these tools, they don't know where to start. And so they live with their problem. They complain and they don't fix their problems. when you have the right tools and when you can install an app in one click that will help you launch a website, build your landing page, send 100,000 WhatsApp or email or SMS, whatever, then things get easier and you can start fixing your problems. And this is how you make company growth. You fix all the issues everywhere and then the company starts growing much faster.
Where do people burn most amount of the money? Where do you feel, because we were talking about that, okay, cash is really difficult. Mm-hmm. Cash is the biggest problem of an entrepreneur, no matter which stage of a business an entrepreneur is. Where do people burn most on? Like, what are the more common patterns you have analyzed across?
It depends. Businesses? Americans, they burn on marketing. Indian less.
Indians burn less on marketing?
Yes. You have to see Americans to understand that.
they burn a lot.
They are crazy, yes.
They're crazy.
But they are good also. They are very good in marketing. The key is to invest in your core business. What I see thing is that don't use the money for one-shot action. Use the money for things that will pay off for the long term. Capitalize on everything you spend. It could be the product. When you develop a feature, people will use this feature for 10 years. Could be educating your partner network. It will pay off for years. But one-shot action, like push logo, sponsoring an event, or that kind of things, it's going to pay only for 1 year. So the way I see the thing is put your money on investment rather than on spending. But investment could be very large depending on your core business.
So marketing, and then second is people spend on a lot of short-term things, not like long-term investments.
I'm not saying that they do that, but
where do people burn the most? Like, I'm asking, where do people burn the most amount of money? So marketing, they burn a lot. Then
it depends on the company, of course. For us, at Odoo, we burn a lot on R&D. But I think it's good.
Yeah. Did you make mistake in Odoo? Like, where did you... One mistake you tell me that this was... This mistake you're never going to make again.
I said I don't care too much about the mistakes. I do care about having the big success. Hmm. So I've done a few mistakes. One of the biggest one was a pricing change. It was very bad. But in the long-term perspective, I don't care too much.
What was the mistake about pricing? Tell me.
I changed on the pricing that were way too expensive. And so I had to fight back with all the partners or community. And it slowed down the sales for 1 year. But it's not important. I mean, you fix and you jump to something else. What is important is we made some big successes, like a product that is super good, the best on the market. These are the things that matter for the company, not the failures.
Interesting. Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about global economy and global scenarios right
Maybe
now.
Maybe just before. So my biggest mistake has been a pricing change. One of my biggest success has been a pricing change too. So the reason why I did a very good pricing now is because I've tested for years. Mm. So of course I made failures when I tested and changed, and one of them was a big failure. But I learned so much in the process that now we have a pricing that is very good, very affordable for Indian market. It's 580 rupees for all applications. But I went to that level because I've done mistake before. So that's why you shouldn't focus too much about this.
Who's your biggest competition?
We have two types of player: the big ERP, SAP, Microsoft Dynamics, Oracle, or the small player multi-apps, Zoho, Tally, MailChimp to send email, Asana to manage your task, or Trello. But none of them are doing what we do, which is bring everything at an affordable price.
First, you've worked in US and you've worked in Belgium, in Europe, and you've worked in India. Tell me, what is the difference between all three customers? Like, how is US customer or an American customer different than a European customer? And how is an Indian customer different than both the countries? Mm-hmm.
So when I went to the US, what you had to change in Odoo was the product and the marketing. For Americans, the product has to be super simple. It has to be very clean, smooth, simple. They don't want to waste time, energy on understanding something. So we had to simplify a lot Odoo in order to attract the American market and market it. In India, it was different. If your product is not perfect, they will just deal with it. They will find ways to make it work. They are creative. It's not a blocking point for them. The first thing they check is the price. It's a very price-sensitive market. The Indians will focus first on the price. If your price is affordable, they will look at the product. So we had to do both because we're active in the US and the rest. So we had to do extremely simple and affordable, extremely simple and clean, and at a good price for Indians. Europe is in between. It's like a good balance between the price, where Indians are extremist, and the quality of the product where Americans are extremist.
You feel America and India, this is the biggest thing that Indians don't want to save time at the price of getting things expensive?
Yes. And India has less sensible to efficiency. Americans, it's their core focus. If I want to scale, hyperscale, grow, they think about growing, scaling. And for that, everything has to be super fast, clean, good service, no waste of time, and so on. Americans, Indians, not so much. It's okay. If it doesn't work well, I will just recruit more people. And at the end of the day, they both are right. Because Indians have this capability of having cheap labor. But both should learn from each other. If Indian companies would be better at marketing and at efficiency, with the price they have, they can skyrocket.
Why do you feel like, why do Indians don't value time as much?
Because it's cheaper. The time is cheaper. The time of labor for having people doing things is cheaper. So you can afford to waste more time. Yeah. The thing is, you can also become more efficient and cheap at the same time, and then you are two times better. So the companies who grow and succeed are the ones who understood that you, of great, people are cheap, so you can use them. But if you make them become efficient, then you stand out from the competition. So I still think it's not because labor is cheap that you should not be efficient. You should do both. And by doing both, you get a huge competitive advantage.
True. And I think if Indians start really understanding this trend that we have of cheap resources around us, and then become really, really efficient, then we can be the global powers.
Yeah.
I think there's no one can stop us because...
And there is no...
You can make other, cheap and export at an expensive price. Mm-hmm.
There is no other country with that potential. I mean, we used to talk about BRICS, you know, Brazil, Russia, India, China. Brazil, huge inflation is difficult. Russia is in war. China is not open to external business, so it's very difficult. They export, but you cannot do service or B2B easily with them. So the only country which is open, who speaks English, who has strong growth and huge number of people is India.
Yeah.
It's the only one that can achieve that.
Yep. And also, there was one stat that I was reading. India is the biggest English-speaking country in the world right now.
Yeah. To understand that, you have to work with Chinese. It's very, very hard to work with translators. It's true. you don't have that. Every manager at high-level position, they speak English. So it's much easier to do international business with India.
Do you think there's opportunity in entrepreneurship now in India or around the world? Or do you think that the golden days are over?
I'm impressed by entrepreneurship in India. Okay. You go to a library like Crossroad, 30% of the books are about entrepreneurship, business, and so on. You go to a library in Europe, it's only stories. Nothing about management. So you really have a mindset. Some schools teach entrepreneurship and startups. So you're very good at that, I think.
No, I was just asking, like, do you think there's opportunities left for entrepreneurs to build some things?
There are plenty of opportunities.
Plenty? Or you think like now there are too many products, too many startups, it's going to slow down?
It's not going to slow down. With the 8% growth of GDP, with the middle class that is thriving and growing like crazy. I'm always surprised. We work with a lot of Odoo partners. The speed at which they grow is amazing. I don't see that in other countries.
So a follow-up question in this, because you work with a lot of startups, what are the key industries in India where you see significant growth?
I'm only working in some industries.
So based on all the industries that you're working in, what do you think like three, four industries that you're really doing?
IT is clearly a driver. We are talking about salaries. Salaries in IT are probably higher than most other sectors on average. So IT is big. And IT is also a strong growth because of external factors. It's a service you export. It's always good to export service. It's better to export service than manufacturing, which are lower jobs. And most of the IT sector is driven by export, which I believe is very strong. And the other countries suffer from a lack of developers and so on. So there is a big opportunity.
Who's the biggest player in India when it comes to the exact same services that
management software? It's Zoho.
Zoho?
And Tally. Tally for accounting and Zoho for CRM and small productivity apps.
Why do you feel that you will be able to build a better, like you'll be able to get a better market share than them?
First, now I have 1% of the market, so I'm just starting. But I do believe they have no chances of competing with us. I do believe in the long term, the best products always win. And their product is really, really bad. Tally is a very old software. You know, it looks like MS-DOS. Everything takes no mouse.
But most of the India uses Tally.
Yeah,
right?
Because they had no other alternatives. It was the only one. So, but now, and we have seen that in all other countries. And in the United States, in Belgium, it was the same. All legacy software, and we replaced them with Odoo. It's always different. It's a good software, but it's very limited. It's not fully integrated. So if you need inventory management, manufacturing, point of sale, website builder, they can do it. So we provide way, way more than them.
You provide POS as well?
POS for restaurant or for retail. We have 40,000 apps. So we provide everything you need in one click. And we do it at 3 times cheaper than them. So we are 580 rupees per user per month, and they are 1,800 for Zoho One.
I have 3 last questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One is, what's your approach to make important decisions in your company? Because that's one of the most important things which every entrepreneur or every manager, or every employee needs to learn, because there are thousands of decisions that you have to take in a day.
Yeah.
You don't know how to make the important ones and how to take the right ones.
The key is not how to decide, but how you get to a level of where you understand a lot of things. And for me, at Odoo, it's quite easy because I work really deep with a lot of departments. So I do believe I have a very good knowledge of things. So most of the decisions are obvious. Sometimes we don't think about it, but when you start thinking about it, it's directly obvious. And it's easy to decide when you perfectly understand every department. Sometimes we have decisions that are very difficult, and then it's just your gut. I don't believe in numbers. I don't believe in statistics. It's never good.
There's no science behind choosing it.
The complex decisions are complex by nature. And so you can try to measure things, but probably you won't be able. You can measure a few things to help you, but at the end, it's always based on your feeling. And a few decisions I've taken that were against my feeling, sometimes I regretted it.
All right. Last question, which is, do you feel that a lot of US-based companies or European-based companies, like Western companies, are coming to India? Do you think that every one of them is going to thrive here, or India is a very difficult market to thrive for them?
I think you need a product and or a service that fits with the market. You cannot just say to India, okay, we go there and expand. If your product or service doesn't match with the market, it just won't work.
Got it. Well, I can just keep going on and on, but thank you so much for sharing all the insights. I am still going to stick to the best insight of the day, where for me was hiring a salesperson. I'm sure people are going to find other insights as well. Really love talking to you about how to build companies, what are the things, how to write, and so many little insights that I can't even recall right now. I have to see it again. But I absolutely love the way you think about so many things.
And I love the experience too. So that's great for me.
Thank you so much.